Secular, concern in Pakistan continues, and we're going to give you an update from our East African Center for Law and Justice and their fight with Islam.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The grief and agony of two young girls who wait to see if the Pakistani government will execute their jailed mother. Whenever I see her picture, I cry, says 12-year-old Isham.
When this hearing was finally held, I think their hopes were finally there's going to be justice. I think of Asya's daughters in particular. Finally, our mom is going to be free. She's going to come home to us. And all of those hopes were dashed. This was a very difficult day for Asya, for her husband Ashiq, and for their daughters.
When I heard the decision, my heart ached, says Asya's husband, who denies she ever insulted Muhammad. He says death threats forced him and his daughters, one of them disabled, to flee their village.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We know there have been threats by radical Muslims against them. We know there were about 25 mullahs that attended the hearing, were sitting in the courtroom, and about 2,000 more outside the courthouse, bringing the message to bear to the judges, hey, we're watching how you rule on this case. We know who you are. We know where you live. You're not out of our reach.
How can we pray for you?
Pray for us, pray for our family, pray for Asya that she may soon come back home and she can say thank you to the entire world when she returns home.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Yesterday on the broadcast, you heard from Shahryar Gill, who heads up our work in Pakistan, which you probably didn't even know we were engaged in. But as the situation with Asya Bibi becomes more and more pronounced and the difficulties continue, we wanted to let you know that we have teams on the ground in Pakistan. Well, what you may not also know is that we've got teams on the ground in Africa as well. And we're fortunate today that in our studio, we have the chairman, Bishop Mark Karaoke, who is the chairman of our East African Center for Law and Justice and also a very influential pastor and friend in Africa, especially, of course, in Kenya, his country where he resides and ministers, but really ministers all over the world. Bishop, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so very much.
We are going to get into this after the break, but the fight that we're seeing in other parts of the world with Islam, you're having your version of it, different group, but you're having it right there in Kenya.
It's been there for quite some time now with the fall of the Somali government and the rise of Al-Shabaab. It's infiltrated in Kenya, and this year has been the worst of them all, right from the beginning.
Yeah, so Al-Shabaab, and David, we've talked about Al-Shabaab before because, and as the bishop just said, worse now than ever before. This is part of that concern we have with this growing Islamic threat globally.
Right. It's hard to keep track of all the different jihadist groups by their names. You have to understand they're all part of this same jihad, operating under different banners, but with the same ideology, the same tactics, the same goals.
All right. We're taking your call. Than Bennett's with us in Washington, D.C. So here's what we want to do. Is the reaction of the United States on this global Islamic threat enough? Or is leading from behind creating an international and global disaster for Christians in the Middle East, in Africa and other parts of the world? We're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Now, I am happy to report a bit of good news here, and that is the response for Asya Bibi and for her release has now almost reached 120,000 signatures in 48 hours. We want to encourage you to sign that petition today. You could do it at BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. Or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255 to add your voice to the Christian mother of five sentenced to death by hanging for being a Christian, saying that Jesus is the true prophet. ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. And your reaction to the White House response on global Islam, you can call us with that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
I can't stand to see this evil.
It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Well, you've got reports coming in from Canada. A gunman is dead, but there's others that are maybe involved in it. We don't know the details of that yet, but we do know an earlier detail. And this is up in Ottawa, Canada. David French is going to give us the latest on that situation. There was a killing of a soldier in Canada. Did not get a lot of global attention. It should have because of the facts of what we know so far.
It looks like there was an individual who was either a Muslim convert or a radicalized Canadian Muslim who had emphasized online his sympathy with ISIS, drove his car into two Canadian soldiers, killing one, injuring the other one, and then conducted a high-speed chase and was killed in a gun battle following that high-speed chase.
And we've got reports now of one gunman dead, others gunshots fired at the Canadian Parliament. Interesting also, let me say this, we had the situation in Oklahoma where a beheading of an American by someone that had at least an affiliation or influence by the Islamic State. We've had the hacking to death of that police officer in England. Now the tie-in is there. And we're going to hear, you heard about, of course, we've got Asia Bibi's case where she is threatened with death by hanging because she's a Christian. By the way, anybody that's not signed that petition, you need to do it right now at aclj.org, beheardproject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. There's no time to waste on these cases. So you're going to hear from the bishop in a moment. In Kenya, where offices, a serious threat down there, you said earlier, worse than it's ever been. So again, aclj.org, or 1-877-989-2255 on the situation with Asia Bibi. We are trying to work all global avenues. Than, quickly, what's the latest there? You said letters about ready to go.
Yeah, we're working with Joe Pitts and Ted Cruz, so a House-Senate bicameral letter, Jay. This letter is going to focus on a couple of things, mainly that $2 billion that we send to Pakistan. These lawmakers are going to communicate, if you are not going to work with us on basic, fundamental human rights like religious freedom, then we are going to reconsider that $2 billion we send you each and every year. We're going to build support, both the House and the Senate side. It should go out the door very shortly.
$2 billion, and we cannot get a woman sentenced to death for being a Christian released. And her family taken out of harm's way. And this is ridiculous. So here's what I need you to do. Everybody that's listening, go to aclj.org, beheardproject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. And if you want to talk to us on air, you could do that as well. Your view on the policies of the administration as it comes to this global Islamic threat. Is the president acting as commander-in-chief? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me go back to the bishop. Let's talk about the situation that you have in Kenya right now. You said it's the worst it's ever been. Let's talk about the group and what the tactics are.
Well, it started right last year or the year before when the Al-Shabaab started attacking Kenyan tourists, came to the Kenyan coast and attacked tourists and killed them. So the Kenya Defense Forces decided to move into Somalia, and they moved on very well. But the Al-Shabaabs moved around and infiltrated and got into Kenya. So what they do, they come and recruit young men who have no idea what is going on. The young men will be promised jobs. Because of the jobless situation in the country, somebody would go and, oh, you're looking for a job? There's going to be a job in such and such a place. So they will go there. The young men will go there and they spend the whole day. It has said the person with a job is late. So right. they're given lunch. And then in the evening, they're told he's not coming, but he has phoned and said he will come tomorrow. So they are given money to take a fare to go back home and to come tomorrow. The following day, they go through the same thing, and then they are given money. In the end, on Friday, they are asked a question. Okay, when you go to church, you give an offering. But when you come here, we give you money to go back home. Well, what would you want? Well, they are jobless. They would rather come and be money. Given some money. So then they are told, okay, we can give you a job, but it's at northern Kenya. And when they go to northern Kenya, that's where the border is into Somalia, and they get into Somalia, get into training that they have no idea of. Then after the training, they become now Al-Shabaab. So they are sent back to go and kill Kenyans. And because they are just like any other normal Kenyan, you cannot identify them from the color of their skin. So they just infiltrate and they have bombed vehicles. Churches have been bombed. So they get into a public service vehicle and put the bomb, and they detonate it on the way. So it's been quite bad.
You know, David, when you look at the situation with Al-Shabaab, as the bishop was just saying, I think this is significant, folks. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What you're finding out today is we've got officers in Kenya. We're fighting the same issues. And these are serious issues. People have been killed over this, as the situation exists right now for Asiya Bibi. These people like Saeed Abedini, Asiya Bibi, Miriam Ibrahim are just examples of the Christian persecution that's going on right now. But one thing the bishop just said, which I think is really critical, David, to really let our audience understand, and you've had experience in portions of that region, certainly in the Middle East, but Africa, it's the same desire. So you look at Hamas, where Hamas goes into a very poor population. They offer food, medicine, and education. And from that, they end up getting people that are supporting their efforts. And that becomes the calling card, the recruiting tool, if you will, for these groups. Al-Shabaab is no different.
Oh, that's right. And there's no question that there are jihadist organizations that exploit poverty. But we can't just blame poverty on this, because the leaders of these jihadist organizations are often, let's look at, for example, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. He's a highly educated man who is devising a strategy that has lured people from across the globe. So they exploit poverty, they exploit religion, they exploit whatever they need to exploit to advance their point of their jihadist agenda.
Fan, when we look at the situation from your offices there in Washington, D.C., our offices in Washington, D.C., we're now talking about our offices in Strasbourg, France, Pakistan, Kenya. The sense of and people need to understand, the scope of this Islamic threat is much more significant than it was at 9/11. I mean, it has grown exponentially, and it's growing into areas exponentially.
No doubt about it. I listened to the conversation you're having with the bishop and with David, and what's clear to me, Jay, is that religious persecution really is the greatest challenge that this generation faces. I mean, it takes the form of jihadi terrorism. It takes the form of individual persecution like Asiya Bibi, and it is happening all over the world, Jay. So one of the things that we're trying to do on the Hill is make members realize this is something that is very real. You may not see it in your districts, but this is something that's happening all over the world, and they engage with us through the offices that we have around the globe to combat it.
Bishop, you're a very influential pastor, leader in Kenya. When you're talking to government officials about the Islamic situation, we're going to talk in the next segment of the broadcast about another issue that's come up there that may well end up in court. What is their sense of it? How are they dealing with Islam now? Kenya is primarily not Muslim, right? or it's percentage-wise?
It's not Kenya is not Muslim.
Right.
But what has happened is that we have also realized that the Al-Shabaab would want us to think that it is a religious battle between Muslims and Christians. And when it becomes religious, then people start killing one another. But we realize that there are Muslims who are not for the Al-Shababs, and they have been very vocal. So when there has been an incident, we have come together, both the Christians and the Muslims, and we have said this is not a religious war. It's actually terrorism, and we want the people to know what terrorism is, and it doesn't choose who to attack. So the government has been supportive, but maybe not the way to the extent that we would have wanted. Because when a church has been bombed, and the investigation's carried on, nobody gets arrested.
So a church gets bombed in Kenya. Mm-hmm. It's probably Al-Shabaab. David, hang on a second. Go ahead. the issue here is when you've got a church that's been bombed and that situation develops, what you need to do is having a real investigation. Are the investigations going on real?
The investigations start off, but we never get information of who has been arrested or taken to court. And then, because of our new constitution, there are so many loopholes that somebody cannot be held for a certain period of time. So somebody gets arrested and then is out on bail, and they will go back and do the same things.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You're hearing it now from a bishop that is not only influential; he's the chairman of our board for the East Africa Center for Law and Justice, EACLJ. You can go to the website there. Let me tell you a couple things we'd like you to do. Number one, the book Rise of ISIS, available in bookstores literally everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you want to get informed on these issues, get Rise of ISIS. So let me encourage you to pick up copies. You can get it literally in bookstores everywhere. And also, I was on a broadcast this morning, and I talked about the host that was interviewing me. He said he read all the footnotes. Because in the end notes of the book, there's a tremendous amount of information that we didn't put in the main body of the book. We put it in the footnotes, so you're going to want what we call end notes. Again, we'll also find out pretty soon if we're making that bestsellers list. If not, you can help us do it. We want to keep the momentum going. You could do that, again, by going to riseofisis.com to get it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, on your e-books, but it's available in bookstores. Target, Sam's, everywhere's got it. Folks, we need you to sign this petition for Asiya Bibi. I mean, it is really, really critical that we have a global stand when these Christian cases come up for persecution. And you could do that by going to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Back with your calls in a moment.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asiya Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asiya Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
We're watching the situation in Ottawa. AP is now reporting that police confirmed shots at an Ottawa shopping mall as well. So obviously multiple gunmen, multiple injuries. David mentioned earlier, let me give him a repeat on this, of what happened earlier in the week in Canada. Canada, by the way, has raised their terror level up in light of this. But let's go ahead, David, give everybody an update. This is a serious situation.
2 days ago, a radicalized Canadian Muslim man drove his car into two Canadian soldiers who were walking along the road, killing one of them, injuring the other one, then led authorities on a high-speed chase, which I believe ended in a gun battle and with the driver being killed. And this is somebody who had been known to have been radicalized for some time and at least proclaimed some allegiance or fealty to ISIS on his own social media and his own web postings.
Well, this tells you the nature of the fight we've got. We're fortunate that we have in the studios with us right now the head of our East African Center for Law and Justice. The bishop here has got a tremendous ministry in Kenya and really throughout Africa, and also now impacting the rest of the world. Here's another example, though. I want to give you another example of what's going on. By the way, we are looking at, for Asia Bibi's case, remember, our goal is to get to 200,000 signatures. We're at 119,000. Will, that does not include phone calls, so we're probably at about 123,000 right now. We can get to 200,000 if you participate. ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com, or 877-989-2255. We do have breaking news. A soldier shot at the Canadian War Memorial in Ottawa. This is the second attack on a soldier. There's something developing there. We don't have the details yet. We are monitoring it, and we will keep you posted. You've had an issue, Bishop, in... let's take Brian's called in a couple of times. Let me take the call from Brian because I know he's had some phone trouble. Brian, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir.
I'm an American Muslim. I've been to Syria 3 times. Syria has the oldest Christian community in the world. Paul of Tarsus was told to go to the Damascus, to the Ananias house, to find the true believers. The Christian community has been there. The Ananias church still stands in Syria. The Christians were never persecuted in Syria until just 3 years ago. And I believe it was America's involvement in the Middle East that has been the acorn that's grown into this tree that we have of extremists and people killing
each other. So you think America's engagement, for instance, in Iraq or Afghanistan has created this excuse then for the Muslim jihadists to start attacking Christians?
Not an excuse, but instability. But in Syria, we have people killing people, first of all. And it's Muslims killing other Muslims.
Yes, I know. ISIS goes after Muslims. I mean, and the bishop was saying this also. And Brian, hang on the line if you can hear. Bishop, you were saying in Kenya, the situation has been where there have been Muslims that have come to you. You've worked together because al-Shabaab, when they come in, they're going after everybody.
Yeah, we have.
If you don't agree with them.
Yeah, we have worked with those people, and they attack even the Muslims. In fact, I was in Rwanda and in the religious council meeting, and we had people from Tanzania and Uganda and Rwanda and Burundi, and we had one imam from Zanzibar, and his face had been completely disfigured because the Muslims poured acid on his face and disfigured his face completely.
Because they didn't agree with his version of Islam.
Exactly.
So, Brian, I mean, this is part of, and I'm going to have David comment on this too, but this is part of the problem. I mean, you certainly have had a lot of Muslims killed in Syria and Iraq, but this internal violence has been going on since the founding. I mean, let's be, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, Brian, but since the founding of Islam, there's been the Sunni-Shia conflict. It has been conquest before. It has been internal struggle and fighting. This is nothing new. But I don't think you could have as an excuse America's engagement in the Middle East. America has to engage the Middle East. We don't have the luxury of not engaging the Middle East. And to make it an excuse, you know, Syria right now, you're right, there are some Christian communities that are still okay. But, David, the reality is ISIS gets in there. That's not going to be the case.
Well, the genesis of these...
Because in Iraq, the Christian community has been wiped out. We've had Andrew White on the broadcast, the vicar of Baghdad.
Right. And in Syria, I mean, this was an uprising that began as part of that broader Arab Spring. I mean, it started in Tunisia, then went into Egypt, then it went into Syria. That was not there. America didn't have anything to do with that. There are larger issues in the Middle East regarding discontent with governments that have nothing to do with American involvement in Iraq or in Israel. And
I mean, we're looking at a situation unfolding right now with Ottawa. So Canada's had some involvement in the Middle East, not a tremendous amount. Why would you pick Canada? Because what? If this turns out to be, we already know there's one jihadist involved in the one earlier. We will find out if this is a multiple-party, multiple-prong attack. It's happened in Kenya. It's happened in shopping malls and areas. I mean, you said church, Bishop, you said churches have been specifically targeted, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the beginning of the year, there was the bombing of a shopping mall when it had been taken over. And for some days, it was besieged. And so many people died out of that. Just somebody walking in and just shooting around.
Which apparently has happened here. So, Brian, you're not saying that any of this is an excuse for violence or death.
No, sir, I'm not saying that there is an excuse for the types of incidences you're explaining, but I live in Columbia, Maryland, where we have shopping malls that are under siege. The people shoot up the shopping malls in the United States, and they're not Islamic fundamentalists.
It is very rare that you have – I mean, it's a highly unusual event in the United States. We've had them. There are evil people everywhere. And it doesn't matter where you live and there's no place that's completely without evil because man is a fallen being. But I just think to blame the United States and somehow that you're not saying it justifies any of this, right? I'm asking you a question for a reason here. Are you saying the United States engagement in the Middle East justifies beheading of Christians in Iraq?
That's all I wanted to hear.
Okay.
I'm suggesting that the United States is destabilizing the region by putting weapons.
I think Islam has an internal conflict that they are having, and it's destabilizing themselves. David?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Middle East hasn't been stable for a very, very long time, from well before the United States ever got involved.
Since the founding of Islam, it has not been stable. That's just the truth. If you look at history, that's the case. It wasn't that stable before.
No, I mean, I can't think of a time the Middle East was terribly stable. So we're talking about ancient divisions, ancient grievances, and very real religious differences here that are sparking up and flaring up into some of the most extreme violence in the world. United States gets caught up in it in large part because what happens is when you deal with the jihadist ideology, they are supremacists. They want to reign supreme and oppose anyone who isn't Muslim.
So, Than, we're getting reports that the U.S. Embassy has been put on a lockdown in Ottawa. How are things in Washington? Usually we're right in the middle of downtown, right next to all the government, right next to the Capitol. What's the sense there? Can you tell any differential yet?
Yeah, we were on high alert when I came down. There's a pretty natural response to that happens. Let me just say quickly to that last caller, Jay, a shooting in Columbia, Maryland, which is pretty close to here, far different than ISIS wiping out cities across Iraq and Syria. Very different situation.
No doubt. And we're going to take more calls when we come back, 1-800-684-3110. We've got our chairman of the board of the East African Center for Law and Justice in Kenya. Bishop is with us. That's great. David and Than, of course. Folks, we've got a couple things we want you to do. Number one, ASEA BB's petition growing. We want to get it to 200,000. We need your help. BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Let me say this. She does not have the ability on a global scale to speak out in her own defense. But her husband said that. You heard it in the opening of the broadcast. They're hopeful that she will be able to thank the world because she knows it's going to take the reaction of the world to come to this Christian mother of five's aid so that she is not hung to death. Go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Again, BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. The book Rise of ISIS in bookstores everywhere. If you want to talk to us on air, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. SiriusXM, you know we're there for the full hour. If not, just go over to ACLJ.org and we'll take your calls when we come back.
We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Ozzie Abebe now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
What a magnificent version of the song Where I Stand. Our good friend Ricky Skaggs came into our studios last week, did a session with us. That's going to be hopefully up on YouTube. Looking at JT here by the end of the by the weekend, it'll be coming up. So, and Aaron's smiling as we say it, so is Matt. So that must mean it's going to happen. So we're going to get that up. Ricky came in, did it, and it's a different version of it, but on a situation like this, it's the appropriate song for this difficult situation. Then let's go ahead and take a call and continue the conversation here.
A lot of phone calls coming in at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start with Donna calling from Rhode Island on line two. Donna, you're on the air.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. Hi, thanks for writing the book about the rise of ISIS.
Thank you.
Yeah,
our
I look
pleasure.
Forward to reading it. I haven't read it yet. I hope it takes off and is on the New York Times bestseller list.
We'll probably find out by end of week, maybe even tonight. And we're normally not allowed to announce it. But last time, when we were number three on the ebook version of it, the New York Times tweeted it out. So, you know, it's in God's hands, literally. By the way, a huge thank you to our members that have been listening and been buying the book. Dave and I talked about this before we went on the air. It's been an incredible response for Rise of ISIS, and we thank you. But go ahead with your comment, Donna.
I just wanted to say that the Brian that called, yep. the Muslim,
yep.
he sounded like he was not from America.
Well, he said he's Syrian.
Syrian. Okay, so he's Syrian, but he's in America.
Right.
You know, so he's here blaming America. He's in America,
yeah.
blaming America for what's
right.
happening. It's really, really disturbing.
Well, you know, this whole blame America, and he's also, by the way, an American citizen. But this whole blame America thing, I mean, is this just you know, Pastor Bishop? I'm going to talk to you from a theological perspective here. If somebody had a bad foreign policy or somebody disagreed with the foreign policy, the response is not to do mass executions of people you disagree with.
No. That's not it.
So when you're dealing with the government as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and there's an issue, we're going to talk about it coming up, one of the issues you're dealing with right now, what's the approach you use in Kenya when there's a fundamental disagreement on a policy issue with the government?
No, we will approach the government because we are citizens of the country and we have our rights. So we'll go to the right people and we put our point forward.
This is no different than the Apostle Paul saying, I'm a citizen of Rome. You don't get to sneak me out of the back of the jail. I mean, this is all part and parcel of the same thing. All right, Than, let's give everybody a quick update here. By the way, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's give everybody a quick update on what's happening on Asiya Bibi's case.
Yeah, we are reminding folks on the here about Asiya Bibi's case that the United States has a crucial role to play here. This goes to the last caller's comments, Jay. The United States' reaction in recent years has been far weaker than it used to be. We are asking members of Congress, specifically Ted Cruz, Joe Pitts are leading the effort, to remind this president that he's got a role to play. We send $2 billion every year to Pakistan. This letter that members of Congress will send will tell the Pakistani government, if you don't honor fundamental human rights, including Asiya's, religious freedom, that money is going to be on the line. I expect, Jay, that letter will be wrapped up and signed within the week, out in a few days.
All right, so David, we're in a critical phase here of getting the signatures. I'm looking right now at 119,845. Certainly we can get over 120,000 in the next few minutes. With the phone calls, we're probably at 125,000. We'll be making another run at this. It's conceivable that we hit 200,000.
Oh, it's very conceivable. The response from our members has been fantastic. This has struck a chord, as it should strike a chord. I mean, this is an innocent woman on death row merely because of her faith in Jesus Christ.
You know, she gives a cup of water to a Muslim who was thirsty, and then it becomes an international crime, basically. A crime against the state of Pakistan, certainly. Pakistan signed all these international obligations on religious freedom and human rights. None of that's happening. We're monitoring the situation in Ottawa as well. Folks, let me encourage you to do this. Buy the book Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It is available now in bookstores everywhere, online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but literally everywhere books are sold, you can get the book. Also, very important here, sign this petition for Asiya Bibi. She can't speak out. We could speak out for her. You could do that at BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. So it's BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. We've got our chairman of our East African Center for Law and Justice with us. We'll be back with more with the bishop in just a moment. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asiya Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asiya Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asiya Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. For our television audience, you're getting a real look at what it's like doing live radio here at our center, our media center for the ACLJ. We are in our studio with our chairman of our board for our East African Center for Law and Justice, but we also have reports coming in now that three confirmed different shootings in Canada. The second soldier has now been shot. David, again, give a brief on what happened to the first soldier. We don't know the details yet, but for our television audience, you're seeing what it's like on our broadcast every day as we monitor. Our production team monitors the news here. You got Will and Nick and Joe in there looking at all this as we're live right now. What do we know from what happened earlier?
So 48 hours ago, a radicalized Canadian Muslim drove his car into two Canadian soldiers, killing one, then led police on a wild chase through Canada. Now, 48 hours later, there are reports of gunfire at three separate locations in Canada. Another soldier shot at a war memorial in Canada. We don't know all the motives of the current gunman, but it's a highly disturbing development in close proximity to a jihadist attack.
Yeah, and let's also say that there was a ceremony scheduled in Canada. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. There was this was going to be honoring the Nobel Prize recipient, Malala, the woman who defied the Taliban in Pakistan,
right,
who had been shot in the face. She was going to be honored with honorary Canadian citizenship today. So is that a coincidence? We don't know, but, you know, a lot of disturbing signs.
I don't believe in anything as a coincidence anymore, by the way. I mean, I just even if it's not related to Islamic terrorism, there's always something at play here. Bishop, we're going to take a phone call in a minute here. I want to ask you a question regarding the United Nations, because, as you know, our East European Center for Law and Justice is an NGO at the UN. What is UN involvement right now in Kenya? Are you seeing much when it comes to aid and help, or is not much of a presence, or is it more falling on the church?
It's more on the church. The aid level is gone so low because of conditions that come
right.
that come in. So the aid has gone quite low.
So the UN not the factor they once were.
Not as active as they used to be.
Yeah, I'm saying that because you got to understand the role of the church in these parts of the world is not simply a service on a Sunday. I mean, you're engaged on the political side, on the theological side, and human need and suffering. I mean, it's a comprehensive. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We're involved in relief, giving food to those people who have no food. Where there is drought, we go in there. Where there are conflicts, we've gone there. When there's been political conflicts, the church is involved. So the church is so much involved that whatever resources that we get is moving into these places and helping those people who are in need.
We want to encourage you to pray for the bishop and the team down there in Kenya. It's critical work. You probably didn't hear a lot about it until today on the broadcast for our television audience. You're seeing as well. Let's go ahead, Than, and take some calls. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's take one.
Yeah, we're going to go to Lionel calling from Michigan on line one. Lionel, you're on the air.
Hi, Lionel.
Hey, Jay. How are you guys
Good.
Doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen. You know, I've listened to your program for quite some time, and I really appreciate the work that you guys do to sound the alarm to get
Thank
out
you.
There to we, the average American. You know, who we only get conditioned by the media and what we hear, and it's nice to know that when a program like yours comes on, we're getting the straight truth, and that's how I believe it. But my comment is, we act as Americans like right now, and I know what's going on in the Middle East and abroad. You know, even in America, this rise of what we're saying, a caliphate or an Islam
right.
or ISIS. And the troubling thing is that we act like this is all brand new. But if you would do a history lesson, you can go back and trace a 1,400-year history between the rise or from Mohammed back when he was born in like 500
yeah.
and like
Yeah, the conflict was after Mohammed's death and who was going to run Islam. The difficulty is, and you're right, you've got this internal conflict within Islam, which is significant. ISIS is an example of just going after Muslims as well, and certainly Christians. But it's an old, old problem, as old as Islam itself. The difficulty, the challenge, if you will, is our response. Now, when you've got a situation like ISIS, you can't just sit back and watch people get slaughtered. And you can't blame the United States for people getting slaughtered. I mean, I find that really morally offensive. Even if you disagree with the foreign policy, it doesn't give anybody a license to behead eight-year-olds or to put a woman to be convicted of death by hanging because she said Christ is our true prophet. I mean, this is not the basis upon which you should be put to death. That fundamentally, I think that is where we've got to address this. Pastor, Bishop, let me ask you this. From the spiritual level here, we do see this rising threat to Christians, whether it's in the physical realm, but even you've got a situation right now in Kenya where Christian pastors are being put in a very unusual situation when it comes to marriage licenses, and the Islamic community is exempted from this. Tell us what this is. It's lawfare, folks. I mean, this is when the legal system starts being used against people of faith.
Yeah, it's very challenging because we're given a circular that affects all the ministers of the gospel, the Christians.
So all the Christians got a memo, a circular from the government.
Yes, that you've got to surrender your license for officiating marriages.
So and hand then them back into the government.
Yeah, take it back, and then you get a new one. And when you get a new one, you need to pay a certain fee. And when we look at it, we realize that the Kafis are employees of the government, and they're doing exactly what we are doing by conducting marriages.
Right.
But they are not asked to pay for their licenses, but the Christian ministers are asked to pay for the licenses.
And if you were an imam, do you have to pay for a license?
You don't pay for the license.
So what is the possible rationale? What's the government saying is the reason that they would charge a Christian minister? I mean, people, you understand the nature of this. A Christian minister's paying a fee for the license, but they're exempting Islam. What's the reason for this?
there's no reason, no reason at all. It's just because the church has been quiet. So because you're a Christian, when you're given a slap on this end, you give the other end. So anybody can trample on the church, you can abuse the church. This is what is in their minds. But we're saying we are not taking that direction anymore. We will go to court and we'll say we have our rights as ministers.
Right. This is why we have an East Africa Center for Law and Justice. It's whether dealing with the Al-Shabaab groups, whether it's being treated unfairly and discriminatory. But, David, we've seen this over and over again, this misuse of law to target, here, Christians, and give them different treatment. And that's, it's part of this lawfare thing. I mean, it's the delegitimizing a legitimate church group and saying, oh, we're going to treat you one way, but the imam gets a pass because we know we could trample on the church and there'll be no consequences, but they're not going to mess with Islam.
Right, right. I mean, that's one thing we see consistently here in the United States even. You will see a double standard applied on campus where Islamic groups are given free rein and Christian groups are being ejected from campus. You will see it in popular culture where there's this respect for Islam that is constantly expressed while there is a contempt for Christianity that is constantly expressed. And people are beginning to see through this and see it for what it is, that people aren't, it's not that they're respectful of Islam, they're fearful of it, they're afraid.
Yeah, so the church is not going to just take a secondary position on this, folks, so we're going to fight back in wherever it is, if it's Kenya, if it may have to be in Ottawa, Canada. We've got friends that are lawyers up there, too. This is a unfolding situation that we are keeping our eye on. For our television audience, you're now seeing the way it is. We'll show TV screens of what we're doing here at the ACLJ, how we do this. This is what we do. When there's breaking news, we're analyzing it. Our whole team is analyzing it as we're live on the air. Fan, let's go ahead. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll hold on to the calls. If you want to talk to us on air, you can do that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Fan, again, we're getting near the deadline for the letter. So what's the latest? What's the time frame we're looking at?
Well, I think we really need to remind folks that this is a very urgent situation, Jay. We've talked about the delay in Asia Bibi, her case being heard. But listen, the reality is this is the last chance. That's what we're telling members of Congress, senators. We're saying you need to weigh in with the Pakistani government now. Otherwise, this wife, this mother who was convicted simply for her faith in Jesus Christ, is going to hang. The Supreme Court of Pakistan must reverse course. I want that letter to go out this week, Jay. That's what we're asking
for. So we want to get as many signatures on this list as we can, folks. If you're just tuning in, you know the situation. It's Asia Bibi, Christian mother of five, sentenced to death by hanging because she said Christ is our true prophet when she was being harassed to convert. Folks, go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. We are monitoring the situation in Canada as we're live on the air. Let me also encourage you to get educated and informed on this, folks. Our book, Rise of ISIS, is out in paperback. It's at bookstores everywhere. There's also, by the way, we have a audio CD version of it as well. I encourage you, for those of you that like that kind of format, it's available as well. Get copies for your friends. Distribute the book. As many of you have, and a huge thank you because it's gone out in big numbers already. But continue that. We want to encourage you to buy the book and distribute it. You need to be involved. We're going to find out what's going on in Canada. We'll keep you posted. We'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. By the way, when you get the book Rise of ISIS, you get the song Where I Stand. And hopefully on Saturdays, at least on my Facebook page, we'll have up the version that you're hearing right now with our friend Ricky Skaggs. So that'll be on my Facebook page as well. Back with more in a moment.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Azia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Azia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Azia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This restless feeling of unease.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you while there's a breaking news out of Ottawa, Canada. So our television audience, you're getting kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like when we're live on the air and there's breaking news in Canada. A very troubling development. We don't know who's behind the multiple attacks, including now a soldier been shot, one killed earlier in the week. We know this is an obviously an act that is coordinated. We don't know who's behind it, but we're all awaiting to see. At the same time, I will tell you this, folks, the fight for religious liberty continues. We want you to sign that petition for Azia Bibi at aclj.org or beherproject.com or 877-989-2255. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Earl's calling. Let's take that call, Lothan.
Earl's calling from Virginia on line 6. Earl, you're on the air.
Hi, Earl.
Hey, how are you doing
good
today?
Good, sir.
All right, listen. First thing I want to say, it's a lot of blind people that would probably like to sign that list if you could find a way to get them to sign that letter.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a very good idea. I understand that.
Yeah. Now,
we'll see if we can do something about that. Yes.
Now, for the ISIS situation, right here in America, you have a lot of radical Muslims that are not true Muslims, and they have infiltrated the gang members here.
Sure.
And they are recruiting the gang members, and they are actually killing people right here in the United States.
Well, you know, I want to get the bishop in this, and then David's going to bring up something as well. But let me ask the bishop this. You talked about the situation that the part of the plan is they go into areas that are impoverished. So you got gangs. It means no jobs, not working, people that have time. And that's kind of their modus operandi, the way they operate.
Yeah, that's the way they operate. They capitalize on the joblessness and the lack of finances on the people and give them cash. And if these people don't even know, they're being recruited into a gang. But they eventually find out, after they have gone through the process, that's when they discover, oh, I am now in this gang. I have got to kill because they have been brainwashed. And that's how they're doing their recruitment.
And Earl, you mentioned the academy. Let me tell you, we just had a situation for Israel, Israeli academics, and we haven't talked about it much because there's been so much going on, but it's been a great victory, actually. I'm going to be speaking later with the Council General for Israel on this, but David French handled it. Tell us, David, a little bit about that case. This is another example.
Well, a major American academic association, the American Studies Association, had a boycott, voted in a boycott against Israeli academics attending their annual conference in their official capacity. In other words, if you were representing an Israeli university, they were not going to let you come in the door. Well, that happened to violate a lot of American non-discrimination laws.
Right.
And so when they imposed that boycott, we sent a letter to the hotel hosting the convention. You're going to violate the law if you put in a no Israelis allowed rule. And so they immediately backed down, the American Studies Association backed down, but they did it in a funny way. They changed their policy and then furiously went online claiming that they never were going to bar Israelis to begin with.
Yeah, which they were, of course. By the way, very sad development here. Will Haynes just sent this to me. It's now being reported that the Canadian soldier that was shot near the parliament has died. That's two Canadian soldiers this week that have been killed. As this situation goes on, let's take another phone call. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Than, who's next?
Frank calling from Virginia on line 5. Frank, you're on the air.
Frank, go ahead, please.
Hey, yeah. I'm not going to take too much of your time. I've been listening to you, and you guys have been making some good points. But I just want to say this. This stuff has been going on for a long time, and the only reason that it's amplified now is because of the Bush administration.
But let me ask you this, Frank, because you're the second caller that said that. You know, you said it's been going on for a long time. You know, it's been going on a lot longer than the Bush administration. You could trace this violence, this internal struggle within Islam, back to the foundation to when Muhammad died. I mean, so this is as old as Islam itself. You can't blame this on Bush.
This is why. Now it is our fight because the United States has stuck their nose in places where...
Let me ask you a question, Frank. I mean, do you really believe that what we should allow in right now, let's say in Iraq, when it happened in Kenya, for these groups, these radical jihadist groups to go in, kill people, behead them, crucify them, hang them, and say, well, it's Bush's fault, so we shouldn't do anything about it?
I want to make that, you know, and I don't endorse that at all.
Okay.
No way, because I'm a Christian myself.
I understand that.
I'm offended by that. Okay. So,
offended?
You know,
how would you like to, you know, you want, I'll talk about offended, Frank. How'd you like to be that Canadian soldier? We don't know who's responsible for it. You know, you got ISIS saying they want to raise the flag of ISIS over the White House. I mean, it's very simplistic, Frank, with due respect, to simply say that this is the Bush administration's fault, because this goes way past the Bush administration, David. Way past.
I mean,
way longer.
You know, the planning for the 9/11 attack happened in the Clinton administration.
Right.
You had the Marine Barracks bombings bombed in the Reagan administration. You had Winston Churchill went and fought the River War against jihadists in the 19th century.
Right.
I mean, you know, it goes back and back and back.
Yeah, this is as old as, I hate to say it, it's as old as Islam. Let me ask you this, Bishop. The threat of radical jihadism you're experiencing in Kenya, how serious do you view this threat globally right now?
It's very, very serious, because you go, even in Africa, you go to different nations and you find there are threats there and there are fears there. And they are spreading out so cunningly or craftily that you would not know. So it's something that is going all over the world. And if it's not stopped, the whole world will be taken by a shock when the bomb explodes. So we need to take steps immediately.
Folks, I mean, that's a graphic and a real statement that we are now hearing from the chairman of our board. The bishop was giving it to you exactly like it is. David, we've talked about that in Rise of ISIS. That's part of the concern we have. That's why we wrote the book.
Absolutely. I mean, their motivations and their goals are not a mystery. They state them all the time. I mean, we just mentioned one, to raise the black flag of ISIS over the White House. They talk about destroying the Vatican. They talk about destroying Israel. These are ambitions that they have clearly, clearly stated. When are we going to start believing them when they declare their intentions?
All right, Than, you're saying we're about a week out, maybe less, to get this letter out the door, maybe even at the end of this week.
Yeah, we're gathering those signatures, Jay, even though Congress is not in Washington, D.C. right now, so it does take just a couple of days. But I can tell you the response has been overwhelming. Hopefully that response will move down Pennsylvania Avenue. It will spread beyond Congress. Hopefully the President of the United States will take notice as well.
All right, folks, here's what we want you to do as we're closing this segment of the broadcast out. First, thank you, Bishop, for being with us. It's always a privilege to be with you, and thank you for your leadership in Kenya.
Thank you, sir.
And for our friends, first of all, I need to say a thank you. A lot of you bought that book last week. We know that because we're starting to get reports in from the retailers, and it's a very significant purchase of the book, Rise of ISIS. Let me tell you something, folks. That's making a statement already. It's the lead book on this struggle. I mean, it is the main book out there, and it is the one that ties it all together with ISIS, with Hamas, with Israel, how it all interplays. The book is Rise of ISIS, The Threat We Can't Ignore. If you haven't bought it yet, or if you've already bought it, buy multiple copies. Get it to your friends. That's the critical part. You'll get the song Where I Stand with it as well. There'll be a link on page 99 that tells you exactly where to go to get the song. So we encourage you to get Rise of ISIS. We also have the situation with the Asia Bibi. That is a troubling thing, with a mother of five sentenced to death by hanging because she said Christ is the true prophet. So if you've not signed her petition yet, let me encourage you to do that at aclj.org or beheardproject.com, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. So 877-989-2255 or aclj.org or beheardproject.com. The song you're hearing right now with our great friend Ricky Skaggs, bluegrass legend, country music legend, came in our studios here, did a session with us just about a week and a half ago. That's going to be up hopefully on Facebook this weekend, so you want to stay tuned and look for that. We'll have a lot more on the updates in Canada throughout the day. Journal will be tweeting on that, and we'll get more information out as we learn it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.